reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. We're going to talk about nostalgia today. Nostalgia. I actually looked it up, the definition. It says, a sentimental longing for the past, a wistful affection for a pleasant period in one's life. Nostalgia. We all can be nostalgic. We can all say, oh, the good old days, right? I'll give you an example. And of course, it involves my father. It's a Wonderful Life was on last night. How many times I watched that or some old movie with my dad? And every once in a while, he'd say, yeah, you know, that was the era of the 40s. Yeah, when I was growing up, when I was a younger man, things were better then. It was a simpler, more pleasant, more peaceful time. One night I said to him, all right, Dad, the stock market crashed. You had the Great Depression. You had World War II. Which you went off and fought in. Then you had the Korean War. Then you had the Cold War. I said, yes, certainly a more pleasant, more peaceful, simpler time. And now that I'm at least his age and probably older, you know, when I watch TV and I see, you know, one of those Time Life commercials for the Ed Sullivan Show or something, and I say, yeah, that was my era. It was better back then. It was a simpler, peaceful, less complicated time. And when I was preparing this homily, I said, all right, when you're a kid, you know, you're kind of shielded from things, but, you know, I said, there was the wars over desegregating. There was the Vietnam War. There was the hippie movement and the questioning of all institutions of authority. There was rioting in our streets, killings on our college campuses. Yes, it certainly was a happier, simpler, more peaceful time. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, and we do it with the Christmas story itself. I was making out Christmas cards, and of course I have some classic nativity scene on the front of the card. And we look at that. It's like a Currier and Ives painting or a Rockwell painting. And we say, ah, how beautiful was that first Christmas for the Holy Family. What a peaceful scene. Sleep in heavenly peace. But the church presents us on the fourth Sunday of Advent with the reality. Let's look at that first Christmas. Did things go the way Joseph and Mary thought they would? They were planning a nice, ordinary wedding, and then Mary, all of a sudden, is an unwed mother, and they have to face that scandal. And if that weren't enough, then Caesar calls for a census to be taken. And in her third trimester, she's got to get on a donkey and go all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register. And if that weren't enough, Murphy's Law is in full operation. The labor pains start. And they can't find a place for Mary to lie down and give birth to Jesus. The best they can do is find basically a barn. A nice, peaceful, angelic first Christmas, right? It was absolute chaos. But we get nostalgic for it. And that is a danger, my brothers and sisters, because, and this is the easiest thing in the world for us to do to ourselves, too. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. We've got 1 week before Christmas. I don't know about you, but with so much that I've got to do in 1 week, I'm already in panic mode. And we can say to ourselves, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my family? What's wrong with my life? What's wrong with my world? I'm in crisis here. I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to be waiting in joyful hope for the coming of my Lord, Jesus Christ. Well, we had a retreat yesterday morning called What Exactly is Joyful Hope? And joyful hope is not somehow getting up in the morning and hoping that, well, I'm on the verge of maybe losing my job and that's going to go away, or my family is fighting and it's fractured and that's going to mysteriously disappear, or I've got great debts and I don't know how to pay them, but I'm going to have a benefactor step up and pay it all off for me. That's hope. I don't know if it's a joyful hope, because it's not a realistic hope. Joyful hope is knowing that, because at any given time in any of our lives, if we really want to be honest, we're dealing with something we would rather not deal with. We're trying to cope with something that, if we let it, would make us abjectly miserable. The joyful hope is this: Jesus is coming to let us know that He is, whatever it is we're going through, He is with us. And whatever it is we're going through, He is going to help us deal with it. And not only that, as bad as it may seem, He is going to bring a greater good out of it. And that is the Christmas gift He wants to give to you and to me and each and every one of us. Now, all that said, I do want each one of us to pray for things to get better in our lives, in our faith community, in our town, and in our world. Because Christmas miracles can and do happen. And if God wants to give us a sign, like the first reading, the virgin shall be with child, if He wants to give us some sort of a sign, some sort of a special Christmas present that borders on or is in fact supernatural, amen, so be it, Lord. Glory to You. But He is there. He's hearing our prayers. He will not fail to give us the present that He knows we need, that it's going to do the best for our souls, for our sanctification, and for our salvation. And if the answer is my presence more powerfully in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, so that, no, these troubles aren't going to mysteriously disappear, but you have a joy in you, which is my love, my strength, and my presence, to go forward with hope into Christmas and the next year. Let's not undervalue that gift, because the first and greatest gift is the life and the love of the Christ child. It was that first Christmas. It is every Christmas. Let's prepare this week to receive it.